What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I got another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very gifted and prolific musician. He has produced and recorded with some of the biggest names in the music business, such as Sean P. Diddy Combs, Kelly Price, Notorious B.I.G., and R. Kelly himself. Please put your hands together to welcome multi-platinum music producer and keyboardist, J-Dub, a.k.a. GOAT. What's happening, J-Dub?
Hey, what's going on?
Before we get into the question, J-Dub, man, I just gotta, you know, take my hat off to you, man. The songs that you've done over the years, you know, with R. Kelly, Puff, Biggie, and Kelly Price, I know all of them, man. It's just some hot material, and I'm just honored to have you on my show, and just, man, it's just been great, man. So, hats off to you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm humble, man. Thank you. That was good.
So when did you start in the music community, man? And, you know, when did you feel this was going to be a full-time gig for you, man? I mean, give me some history, you know, of your career with the Hitman, because I knew you were a part of the Hitman production duo and also your work as a solo keyboardist and organist, man.
Right. Well, I started off playing keyboards. Actually, my grandfather, he used to always bring TVs, old TVs, guitars, and stuff home. So one day he brought like a little organ home. And I think I was maybe about no more than five. And he brought that organ home, and I got on that organ, and I was playing the organ like I had been playing, you know, from birth.
Wow.
So from there, my grandmother immediately noticed that gift. And she began to nurture it. By the time I was 8, 9, she put me in piano lessons. And I started to learn read music. And then after that, I started composing music. So by the time I was 10 or 11, I was playing organ. I was an organist for the church.
Right.
So I was playing organ and piano and drums and like really just all my life. So it was just a natural progression. After high school, I moved to Atlanta basically to do an album with a high school friend of mine named Eric Crawford. He's a tremendous talent in his own right. I came down, well, we both came down to do his album, and that led to me meeting up with Noontime, and Noontime ended up, that's how I met Puff.
Wow.
And I got tied to Puff. So that's pretty much like, you know, like the, you know, in a nutshell, the history of all the way up to Puff.
That's right. It's
yeah.
Cool, man. You know, I come from the same type of background, man. You know, I started in music as a keyboardist at an early age, too, man. And, you know, my 6, 7 years old already playing. And, you know, when I got to about 14 is when I started composing and doing production and learning how to engineer and record my own tracks, man. At the time, man, it was all analog back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
You know, so I had
it. Yeah. When I started, it was all analog. Yeah.
Right. You know, when somebody's younger, I was like, man, you guys have no idea what reel-to-reels are, DAT tapes, and, you know, it was just cassette tapes, man.
to that technology. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that and itself is some technology, but you know, like the new cats, they don't really know it.
No.
Are you talking about DATs? Remember DATs?
Oh, man, digital audio tape, dude. Yes, sir. That was my only bounce mix for my masters I had was my DAT tapes, dude.
Yeah. Everybody's masters was on the DAT tapes, but still to this day, I got DATs that sound incredible. Like the sound that you get from catalog is a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah, it's no comparison, man. You know, like I tell people, man, it's like, you know, DAW's clean. I love the clean and clarity of my
crystal,
mix.
It's crystal.
Right, you know, but to get that analog feel, man, I still find myself, till this day, running a lot of my mixes through a nice 2 preamp or maybe a solid state, man, just to give me that saturation of some sort of analog, man, since I'm not doing tape at the moment.
I feel you, though, man. I exactly know what you're talking about. Like, I always try to run mine through a SSL compressor.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm actually mixing on an SSL or if I got do the plug-in.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I tried to run all of my mixes through that SSL.
Because to the man, you're not going to find any mixer out there. Well, there's the Neve, though. We got the Neve mixers out there.
That's I love the Neve.
I mean,
it's like, you know, you got the Neve and you got the SSL. You know, you got the Rolls Royce and you got the Bentley. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Both of them are, you know what I'm saying, at the top of their game as far as that sound. So, yeah.
You know, having your church background as a musician as an early age, J-Dub, you know, I come from a church musician also as a keyboardist, man. And, you know, what's cool about my background is, man, I came from an R&B and hip-hop background first at 16. And then I got into the church at 16 playing gospel music, man. And, you know, I can tell everybody that that's when I really felt that I really evolved as a musician, as a keyboardist. For one, mm-hmm. to develop my ear for covers. And it also developed my my skill for as improv with my other bandmates on stage with me. And, you know, I just can't thank the church enough and how beneficial it is enough for any musician, man, to take advantage of and really make that your first audience. You know, what's going to work on stage and what's not going to work on stage, man. So, you know, I'm sure you having that background, man, it's definitely helped you a lot as a keyboardist.
It helped so much because I was able to develop an ear for music, per se, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, we're playing for the church, you got to be able to play in every key immediately. Because soon as Sister Mother Joe get up singing in the key of F sharp minor, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to be right up on it, you know what I'm saying? So in the church, that's where I developed my ear for music and my understanding of music, the depth of music, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that experience alone is immeasurable, you know, for me.
That's
where I learned everything. You could just look at the
chord progressions and arrangement in gospel music, man. I mean, we're talking a lot of major and minor combinations. We're talking a lot of major 7 over 9, diminished, augmented, and also within the last 20 years or so, probably even older, the triads in gospel music, the triad progressions. A lot of guys are listening to. It's like, oh, what kind of chord is that, man? Those are all tritones. You know.
Exactly. Because I studied classical and jazz for a while. And I think I got into jazz. I think it was like 12 or 13. Because I'm studying classical music and I got caught because I love classical music, but I hate reading it. So what I would do, I would my piano teacher, my classical piano teacher, her name is Miss Medina. She's an Asian teacher. She would always play, you know, the lesson beforehand. Like, okay, Jeffrey, learn this. So what I would do, I would just listen to it and watch her hand, and I would just learn it by ear.
Right.
and then every week, I would come back and play it by ear. But she caught on, and then she stopped me. She's like, no, who's that note right there? You know, so she caught me, so she really got into me about the, you know, theory and all. But then after that, I started studying jazz. And when I started studying jazz, I fell in love.
Oh, that's a rap, dude.
But I really fell in love with music. All the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, my heavy jazz influence as a keyboardist, and I'm pretty sure you're a fan of him too, is George Duke. I had the opportunity of interviewing George Duke twice. And, you know, every time I talk to George, man, I'm always picking up something. You know what I mean? And, you know, one thing that sticks with me till this day is his monotonous practice of sustain and release. You know, and when to hold those notes and when to release it. And he said it really changed the dynamics as a keyboardist when he really developed the art and understanding of sustain and release on your notes and your attacks as a keyboardist.
Yes. Because that's all important now.
It is.
That, because, you know, being a keyboardist, that sustain and that release, that's everything.
You know, you got to know how to hold that note, let him get up off of it. So, yeah, I love George.
You know, another thing I want to talk to you about, J-Dub, man, because you got a real strong ear, man. I've heard your compositions, man. This is no joke.
Thank you.
You know, the placements for chord progressions and standalone chords. You know, I was talking to a fellow musician of mine about a year or two ago, and he's a drummer. But, you know, he's trying to practice, you know, get into keyboarding and hitting notes and chords. And, you know, I said, man, those are cool chords, you know, but the chord is nothing without the scale or progression, it's supporting the melody of it. You know what I mean? As a standalone chord, it's cool. I mean, but where is it coming from? Where is it going to? And, you know, what's
where
supporting
it
that?
And also, how are you going to take it there? You know?
Right, right. Yeah, you know, that's where the ear comes in.
Yeah, I mean, all that's important. And see, I thank God, too, for some of the teachers that I had. I had some great teachers, like, and then I studied gospel organ, and my first piano organ teacher was Twinkie Clark.
Wow, so, legendary.
Exactly. So I was her star pupil.
Nice.
You know, so I learned all of my progressions from her, and you and I both know, and everybody knows that ever set a foot on the organ knows Twinkie Clark is a beast.
Oh man, she's major. Legendary Twinkie Clark, man. I mean, as far as an organ, even with all the nonsense or stuff, I mean, man, we could have a whole show with Twinkie by herself just talking about how cold she is, you know what I mean? So you ain't got to tell me, man.
Exactly. You know, so big shout out to her. She's amazing. And God bless her mother, because her mother was awesome too. The discipline that she instilled in me when I went to her school, because it was called the Clark Conservatory of Music. And the discipline that she instilled in me and every student that went to the school was, I mean, we still remember it, you know, because she got in us. It wasn't a game.
Right.
You had to come in there knowing your lessons, knowing your scales, your theory, everything. And if you didn't, oh my goodness. You know, so, yeah. So all that played a part, too.
Definitely. You know, but with all the background that you got, J-Dub, man, I want to ask you, man, what is your approach on building your compositions? I mean, does it start with you as a producer and a keyboardist, man? Are you usually alone in the studio where you really get the foundation going, and there from there you pass it on to session players and other musicians? Or does it really start and end with you in the studio?
A lot of times, it starts and ends with me. Unless I'm doing like a record where I need to do live strings, or I need, like a live guitar feel.
Right.
But basically, you know, I start off with, now, see, because I go through, I guess, phases or seasons. You know, sometimes I might want to start off with the drum. So I'll load up a gang of sounds,
right,
and just mess with the drums until I get a solid beat. And then I'll pull up the keyboard sound, you know, or I might chop the sample up, you know. But from that beat, I'll definitely go and build a melody, like a bass line or melody. And then on top of my melody, that's when I would start my chord progressions, doing my chords. And then, you know, from there, doing, you know, my verse, my bridge, you know,
right,
and break it down. But that's basically the foundation of it, you know, recently. I like to start with my beat.
Now let's go back to some of your old work, man, that you had a chance or opportunity to work with Puff. When he was on stage at the Music Awards, man, with the Biggie tribute, with the string arrangement, man, how did you put that together?
Man.
that was a hot concert, man. That was a bad performance right there, bro.
It brought back memories, because it was a lot of fun, man. That was, actually, we were doing the Biggie Duets album when I did that. I picked the songs that he wanted to do, but of course he wanted to remix it. So, He was like, duh, we gotta make it big. You know, I want system orchestra, I wanna make it big. And he knew then, and he still knows that orchestration and stuff.
Yeah.
That's my forte. So what happened was, so we pulled up, you know, we pulled up the records, and then I just went in with the keyboards. I think I used the JV-2800.
Oh, that's a good sound module. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Use that sound module and stack. Just the string arrangements. I think I did about 6 or 7 different string arrangements for that. It was possibly crazy. Even perfection. So,
right.
Which, out of 7, 8, so, but the one, of course, the main was the one that was on the MTV Music Awards. And I remember after we picked it, so Puff wanted it more live. So at the last event, I'll never forget, I was on the train with Slam. Me and Slam back and forth with Terry. The live string is on top of it. I play. Going back and forth. It was right. So yeah, so that was a super fun experience. Because I had a lot of fun because I also got, that was the first time that I conducted a symphony.
Wow.
And that was a lot of fun. Because I scored, you know, because I wrote the music that they were playing. So.
Oh yeah.
It was.
Now, scoring, man, that really takes your talent and ear, man. I mean, a lot of guys just really can't jump on a scoring because when you deal with strings, man, that's full orchestration you're talking about. You know what I mean? And the placements for the sound, you got to use the cellos, you got to use the violas in the right areas. You can't, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, a lot of credit goes to Miss Medina. She was an excellent classical teacher. I mean, because. That's why I can hear the violas and what the cellos do and what the high strings and low strings do because she really, you know, instilled that into all of her students. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, talking about hardware keyboards, man, we got the hardware synths out there. We got soft synths. You know, what's the current setup you have? Are you using a combination of both? Are you strictly hardware or are you strictly soft synth now?
I'm strictly in the box. Software. I have basically every keyboard made, and it's in my computer versus me having 15, 20 keyboards and all that stuff to the, you know, to my sessions now.
Right.
So, back in the day, I used to have about 15 keyboards like that.
Yeah.
Two, 3 years ago, I just said, hey, I'm just going straight to the box.
Right.
Let me think, you know, this is my laptop now. And I love it.
So what are you tracking on DAW? Are you Logic or Pro Tools?
Logic.
Nice. Good man.
Yeah.
So am I, man. I could talk about a Logic show, dude. I mean, I can't talk enough about Logic. And everyone who listens to my show, dude, I got info. I have anything you need for Logic. It's just the goal for recording. I mean,
it's amazing.
It is. And the sound quality is a lot better, too. I must add that there. You know, because I've heard mixes on Pro Tools, and compared to Logic, it's just no comparison.
Man, I'm going to tell you, for the last 2 years, I've been scoring all the music for Tyler Perry's TV shows, Meet the Brown, and I'll say, in every mix I turned in was from the Logic. And my headphones.
Nice.
Every mix. And I just won a 2011 from the TV, from the television ASCAP award for my music in the top TV series. It was Meet the Browns.
Nice. Congrats, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And everything that I did on that show, I did it in Logic is a beast.
Wow. Now, let me ask you, man, because there's different ways to run Logic. How are you setting up your templates? Are you just pretty much using standard templates, or are you hosting all of your synths and your whole production? Is that hosted up on one complete template?
Everything. Like, I'll pull up my synths, drums, and samples. I even record my vocals.
Right.
And I'm off the town, and I sit in. You know?
Right.
It's a piece, but also use a secret. Is I let one secret out. Is I run everything, all my mixes, and when I'm done through the SSL compressor, plug that thing is a beast. But I do have a custom preset. You know.
Yep. That's the only thing I use for my balances.
Great minds think alike.
Oh, got to, man. I mean, like I said, man. Imagine these tools, J-Dub. 15 years ago, they were non-existent. You know what I mean? Everything was just hard based, man. And this stuff was so expensive, man. But now we got the opportunity to use these plugins that sound.
Plugins are amazing, man.
They are. And a lot of guys, they can bad. It's like, oh, they don't sound good as the hardware. It's like, man, you really, really got to know that piece of hardware before you start making comparisons. You know what I mean? How many times have you mixed on the SSL to actually make that comparison? You know what I mean? So,
exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we know. You know? Definitely know. So, yeah, man. I love all the old hardware. And when I'm doing like a lot of overdubs, just finishing albums, I'll pull out the Roland, the Phantoms, the big Carson Triton, some old school modules. Because when you're finishing an album and you want certain sounds to really, really stick out and be thick, you pretty much need the original keyboard versus software, because when it's time to really make it stick through, you want your certain sounds to stick out, you need to get like the keyboard sound. So I put out a few boards, man. You know, mix time, and I got to do a few overdubs. I pull out like a Phantom, like an 88 key Phantom,
right?
You know, for the piano or string. So.
It's hard to pull up that color out of these soft synths that you get out of that hardware. You know what I mean? It's just like listening to an MPC output. I mean, them things just sound great going into the line in. You know, there's just no extra processing that you need. And
exactly. You know? So, yeah.
Puts that meat and potatoes back in the mix. You know, it's heavy and thicker and beefier. So, yeah, I totally agree with you there, man.
Well, yeah.
You know, marketing yourself as a musician has changed over the past 15 years, J-Dub, man. You were in it, man, where it's just kind of evolving to where it is now. You know, what steps have you taken that have been most effective for you to brand yourself as a producer or a musician?
I think from the beginning when I came into it, I just had a love of music. So when the success came, I wasn't really trying. My whole thing was the integrity of the music, right? And the music just had to be great. I didn't care what was going on radio. I didn't even listen to radio. My main thing was, if the music is great, they're respected. If the music is great, they will respect no matter what you do. So, I think how I branded myself over the years and why I'm still relevant and I'm still blessed to still be working is because I've always dedicated everything to the music and the integrity of the music. So at the end of the day, they say the music speaks for itself. So I don't have to say too much. You can just really listen to my music. So I think that's how I branded myself. Like J-Dub, yeah.
Right.
You know, he knows what he's
doing. Definitely.
Yeah.
So what's on the musical agenda for 2011, man? We're at that halfway point, getting ready to hit 2012 pretty soon. What you got on plate?
Yeah, man. It's been an incredible 2-3 years for me. Like I said, I'm just coming off a high of winning that film and television award, because I really didn't even expect that.
Man, that is so on and popping, dude. That's excellent work. And like you say, man, good music speaks for itself. Somebody's listening.
Exactly, man. Because I definitely didn't expect it. That was a blessing. But and by me doing the TV show,
for the last 2 years, I had a plan with the All-Star, Hall of Fame, Demetria McKinney. So,
wow.
Like, at the top of the year, I started pushing her work. So, I got, like, my 4 or 5 records on her new album. It's coming out. It's going to be super hot. So, I got that in place. I have an artist that I perform. Her name is Monet. She's a young hip-hop artist. Super fine, super talented. She has a single out right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to send it to you so you can play it on the show this weekend.
Nice.
It's called Poppin' Tags. I think I got her coming out. And I'm super excited about executive producing Silks, a new record. And all 5 of them are together.
Wow.
Looking great, sad, and sounding incredible. And the album is going to be sick.
You can imagine, man. They've been doing shows for a while, too, so they're ready.
We're bringing the real R&B, real still, like, oh my goodness. Hair's losing everything.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I'm super excited about that. I'm also working on Gladys Knight's Christmas album. That I'm super, super duper excited about that. So, as well as scoring new movie called Spin, written by Cecil Chambers. Shout out to Cecil. That's coming out next spring. So that's going to be my first movie score, feature movie score. So God is good, man. I'm working and really just establishing my brand, Dubs World, because that's the label, that's the publishing company, that's everything, Dubs World Production. So just really establishing myself, you know, as the next Mongo in this music, in the music game, because I understand how it's changed, but I've changed with it because music just evolves, you know. It right. doesn't do anything different. It, you know, it's just like a clock. You know, right. you go through your phase, you get your bad phase, you get, you know, this phase, but it always comes back to music.
It's got to, man. That's where it started from. You know what I mean? It's got to come back. I don't care what you're doing out there. If it has any melodic structure, it's coming back to music. There's just no way around it. You could twist it up and chop it up all you want to, bro. It's coming back to music.
For as long as you want to. But at the end of the day, it has to come back.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, so, and I love it, because that's what I do. At the end of the day, I do music. So,
that's right.
You know, so, yeah, man, so that's where I'm at, pretty much, that's it.
Well, J-Dub, man, it's been a pleasure. Have you on my show, man. I got to have you back, talk about your new projects, man, your new endeavors, man. We got to chop it up again, dude.
Man, most definitely, man. It's been fun.
All right, man. Well, you have a safe 2011, man. Best of luck to you and your family, man. You have a nice, safe new year, dude.
You too, brother. God bless.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And a big shout out and thank you to J-Dub for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Been a fan of his work for a while, and you know, just to have the opportunity to talk with him one-on-one was a very cool thing for me. So big shout out to J-Dub. To hear some of his music and to check up on what he's doing and what he's active on, you can hit him up at myspace.com/DubsWorldProductions, myspace.com/DubsWorldProductions. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at www.spudtootight.com, www.spudtootight.com. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And the title of the track is called Love Ain't Going Away. And it's by R&B and soul group Silk, produced by J-Dub. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.